All right, good evening. Great to be with you all virtually, and I hope you're doing well. I have to introduce myself. My name is Pastor Taylor McManigal, Babyface, I guess. And thank you all for coming up with different nicknames throughout the day for me, and hopefully you don't make fun of me too much. Pray for me. My wife is not liking me right now, so just just on the home front, you know, all the suffering that I have to do for the sake of a YouTube channel, right? But it is good to be here tonight and be able to preach on Job again to continue the study. And thank you for connecting with us. We're going to go ahead and pray, and then I'll jump into the announcements. And then we're going to have a congregational. What a day that will be. And then we'll be jumping into Job chapter 3. So I hope you are prepared and have been prayed up and have read in advance, knowing where we're going next. So let's go ahead and pray and we'll get into the announcements. God, we thank you so much for all that you are doing. And Lord, it is fun to put up challenges. And thank you that our YouTube channel is growing for the outreach. And Lord, that you would use that for your honor and glory. Thank you that we have this technology. Thank you that people are listening. And Lord, just help us to be able to sing to the best of our ability here soon. Just looking forward to heaven and to be with you for eternity. For those who are in Christ, God, if there's someone that is watching, listening tonight, that does not know you as their God, that they would change that tonight by getting saved. And Lord, that you would just continue to work in our hearts to change us, to mold us in the way that you'd have us. And Lord, just to open up in our counseling efforts to be there for others. And God, Lord, just help us to not have an expectation of ourselves that is impossible. Lord, just help us to look into the author and finisher of our faith. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. As far as the announcements go, we do have a service on Wednesday night, and it's our Bible study. It's been going as normal as possible can get here. But our Wednesday evening Bible study with Pastor McPhillips at 7 o'clock. And then we do have our youth group Zoom to be able to go on at 8 o'clock. So if you could get your teens invested in that, that would be awesome. We've had quite a few of our youth group, a good portion of it, able to check in. And we've had a good time just being able to talk and share our prayer requests and to get into God's Word. And lately, the series has been on God's will for our life. And so I hope you could get your teenager involved in that. Or if you are a teenager listening in, please get involved with that. All it is clicking on a link and joining with us and being present and being invested. So that is an option for you this Wednesday at 8 o'clock youth group and at 7 o'clock for the Bible study. We do have our YouTube channel. As you've seen, we've got 123, the last that I checked, that have subscribed. So praise the Lord for that. And so that's given us an ability to personalize our URL, which is youtube.com/c/GraceTaylorville. So if you want to check that out, that would be awesome. We post on kids lessons every Monday through Friday, every day there, and then a teen lesson as well. So please check into that. Get your teens and kids involved in that. And every day, it's only about 10 to 15 minutes that we put those lessons on. And it keeps them going through and connecting Christ even into the Old Testament. So get them involved with that. It could be a little devotional for them if they would like. So please connect your kids and your teens with that or other people that could get involved in watching those. That'd be great. Some adults have been watching. So that's been awesome. They've been enjoying that. So that's just another opportunity to stay connected. There is an option to give online on our website. You could be able to give through that link and then be able to give by mailing in if you would like, or even dropping off your giving from 9 to noon Monday through Friday. There is that option there. And so you can bring that in, and we'll be here and be available for that. So I believe that's it for all the announcements, except for I did have one prayer request. I wanted to just lift up Rogan. We've been praying for him for a while, and he's been able to do this testing, but it's been put on hold due to the fact that this coronavirus is causing a lot of people's testing to be put on hold. And so they haven't been able to get in contact with the company that they're supposed to be doing this through. And so if you could be praying for this, this was an answer to prayer for them to be able to get into this. But now, since the virus, you know, a lot of people's testing have been put on hold. A lot of elective surgeries have been put on hold. And some of these, I would say, is more life-saving than what they think it is. So just be in prayer for all this situation, just to give wisdom to, for God to give wisdom to our leaders to deal through this time, but then also the families that are going through some of these medical issues, that God would give some answers for that. So I think that's it as far as the announcements. Just be praying for our families here and for the outreach to be multiplied in this time. So we're going to go ahead and have our congregational number here. What a day that will be. Go ahead and sing along.
Praise the Lord for that. Number 693. I think you find that fairly quickly. What a day that will be. It's close by. There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come. Number 693. What a day that will be. Lifted up on this first verse. All together now.
There is coming.
If you'd like to turn over to Job chapter 3, go ahead and get your Bibles out. And we're going to be taking care of this whole entire chapter. And I've titled this message, Three Wishes in Raw Grief. And why did I say it like that? Just in the midst of a reality, this is the pure, unfiltered grief of Job. And he finally, after a week of total silence, he opens up his mouth and starts speaking. And let's just think about it this way. What if I started to preach like this? Why don't you just live your best life now? This could be your best life now. I mean, If you just follow after these words in this Bible, all of a sudden you will have the best life you could ever have right now. Everything's going to be peachy. Everything's going to be wonderful. You're going to have no problems whatsoever. I mean, this is your perfect formula for a perfect life right here, right now. Most of you would tune me off immediately. And if Job were listening today, he would definitely turn the channel off. Why? Well, even people in the midst of this time right here, if you were to bring up people like, for instance, this prayer request that I just gave you about Rogan, in the sense of the best life now, you tell him to live his best life now, I think his whole family would laugh. If you talk to people who've lost their job, who've lost hours, who've lost their family members to this virus, I think they would laugh in your face if you were to say, live your best life now. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't come out on the drawing board in a perfect way. And when you're coming back, listen, If you're trying to present that, you haven't been reading your Bible. Because you come to Job, and if you don't skip all the meat, all the raw grief conversations, the boxing matches of these supposed friends coming in with Job as they converse back and forth. If you don't read the meat of this, you might think that it could be your best life now, but no way. No way. You see reality. And this is what I would encourage you as a Christian to never pose as if everything is perfect. Trying to live this filtered life, trying to help other people only see a perfect Christian. If you're trying to pose as if every time somebody asks you, how you doing? Oh, great. It's not reality. And at times, it's even a lie. Are we lying to people about what's going on in our lives? And you say, wow, this is an encouraging message so far. Just wait. Just wait. The encouragement will come and the challenge will come at the very end. But you're going to be running through some major difficulties. And this man who had faith in his God, who followed after him, who offered the sacrifices for his children, for his whole family, who had it all together, it seemed like, and everything, mostly everything, was taken away from him. So as we get into chapter 3, there's actually a few wishes, three wishes in his raw grief that we're going to deal with. One being in verses 1 through 10, the other one being in verses 11 through 19, and the third one finishing out the chapter 20 through 20, verses 20 through 26. And we're going to see three wishes. And why did I say it like this? Because when we're in the midst of trial, when we're in the midst of difficulties, we often wish something could be different so everything would be fixed and there would be no issues. If only, I just wish that this person would get this together or think this way, or I wish, and what it comes down to is I wish that I can control every aspect of my life so I won't be facing these difficulties, right? Isn't that what it comes down to? And so does Job sin through this? Does Job have some issues as he works this out? Well, obviously, as you look at the very end, and as I've encouraged you to do, to look at the end and see what the true answer here is, you find that Job repents. There is a matter of him understanding some of the words that he has stated has doubted the sovereignty of God, and he repents. So as you go through chapter 3, we'll see this. And I don't want to look at this as somebody picking apart Job and being mean to him. I'm not trying to do this, but we have this opportunity to be able to look at this chapter and say, okay, what are the critiques that we could see here that would be good for our lives if we were to hold on to these truths? What could be those things that would have made this better? I wouldn't say easier. But what are some of the things that if he could have thought through in the midst, which, you know, I don't know if he could have thought through it. I think it's just so overwhelming. And I'm not excusing certain things, okay? Don't take it that way. I don't excuse sin or doubting God. I don't excuse that. But I'm just saying that there is this overwhelming amount of thought processes going through his mind at this point. So much stuff is just in his thought process of loss. How do you say something? What do you say next? What do you think next? What next? So let's get into point number one, the first wish, the day to be blotted out. I wish, this is what Job's saying, I wish this day would just be blotted out. What day? His birthday. His birthday. Verse 1, it says there, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. You say, that's some pretty strong language there. Well, his emotions are pretty strong. I told you it was just raw grief. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let it be totally done away with when I was born. The day just totally blotted out. And I know this is a rabbit trail, but you know, Job recognizes a couple of things in verses 3 and 4. There is a man child conceived, and the man which life beginning at conception. I just want to point that out here. Life beginning at conception, he recognizes that. But it says, let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. What's he recognizing there? That God's active in forming a child, active in bringing life. He is the bringer of life. So there are some positive things he does recognize here that we can see, but that's not the main point here. What he's saying here is, I wish this day would have been totally gone. Verse 5, let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Wipe it from the calendar. Let it not come into the number of months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. What's he saying? Don't let them be joyful at a baby's birth. What happens when the child comes? I mean, there's excitement. There's joy. I remember all three of my children being born. We were in the midst of C-section. All three of them, Keely went through. And I got to hold every single one first. And the joy that I had, I was a little overwhelmed by the excitement of having a child, a little scared. So there's a lot of emotions that was going on. But yet I was pretty pumped about being a dad. A new life that I get to hold, to be able to cherish. This is what God has given me. And this is where Job is saying, I wish that would have never happened for my parents. I wish that they would have never said, it's a baby boy, and been all excited and cheered. And he's saying, I just wish it would have never, ever happened. Verse 8, let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning, that the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. No sunrise there. Let's just not even see it. Verse 10, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor did hid the sorrow from mine eyes. If I could only just totally wipe out this day, I wish it would have totally been gone, so I would have never had to face my sorrow. I would have never tasted of this. It never happened. I wish it would have been totally gone. And Job's having struggles, even seeing what's happening here. If I would have just not even been born, I would have never even tasted this sorrow of losing all of my children, of feeling this pain. It would have never even been here. If you could have just blotted this day off the calendar, if it would have never happened, if I would have never been in existence, I would be totally fine with that. That's what Job is saying. I wish I would have never had a birthday. Most kids hope for their birthday, coming around again, excited about, oh, this is the day. This is the day I get a few gifts, maybe have a few friends over, the excitement behind it. Not Job. He just wished it had been totally annihilated off of the calendar. As you go on, you see, he not only wishes that the day be blotted out, but he wishes that he would have even died as a child, been a stillborn, or there would have been complications as he was born. Why? You go into verse, I'm telling you, this is some difficult passage to be able to read, but this is Bible. This is our Bible that we need to read to try and understand why. As we face these difficulties, there was a follower of God who worked through all this raw grief. We can too. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. It was to show us that we don't have to live this filtered life in the sense of trying to bottle up everything inside. There is some grief that needs to be let out. Now, how do we curtail that grief in the sense of not doubting God? That's something that we need to be able to work through. But there is grief. We are not people who are having a perfect life. This is what we need to be able to see, to understand, in order to live our own lives. Verse 11. It says there, along with that wish of death as a child, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why wasn't I stillborn? Verse 12, why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? Why couldn't there have been some issue, my mother not being able to give sustenance there? For now should I have lain still and been quiet? I should have slept, then had I been at rest. Does it mean that he sleep as a baby? No, sleep is in death. He'd been totally still. There'd be no crying whatsoever. He was done. Hopefully, this was his wish, that he would be totally done as soon as he was born. That was it. With kings and counselors of the earth, which build desolate places for themselves. We're talking about the tombs, the burial places of those who are higher ups, the rulers, the royalties. He's saying that here it is, they have their own grave, What else? Or with princes that had gold who filled their houses with silver, or as in hidden, untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. I want to go to that place. I wish I would have just gone straight to that place, that tomb, that burial place, that there would not been any light. Come and go. That's it. Why? As you go on, it says, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. If he would have just come and gone quick, he would just immediately gone to rest. Even the wicked go to the rest. Get what he's putting out there? Verse 18, another down and outer. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. They're no longer in jail. They're dead. They're gone. They can finally rest. They're no longer hearing those who are oppressing over them, who are beating them maybe, or have enchained them. They're no longer hearing that. They're no longer facing that. They're at rest. Verse 19, the small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. The slave, no longer enchained and now free, is able to rest. And yet, Job can't seem to find this rest. He just wished that he would have died at birth. That would have been it. He would have never tasted of this sorrow. So first wish that his birthday would have just been blotted out. Second wish he would have died as a child. Third is death then as an adult. You go into verse 20, wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul. Life is given to those who don't even desire it. So I don't want this. Why do I have it? Verse 21, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. I can remember, you know, thinking of times when, you know, or watch movies, watch shows, and thinking of times, oh, it'd be so cool to be able to get a treasure map and go and find a treasure, dig for it. I mean, it would have been exciting. I mean, the joy that would come from being able to open up that chest and to be able to see the riches, the glittering gold or the precious jewels, whatever it might be. Oh, it'd be so much fun. You know, even at the Easter time, a lot of people had Easter eggs. If you don't believe in it, okay, that's okay. Don't separate from me just because I went and found Easter eggs. Okay, what was in the Easter eggs? Well, you know, candy, coins. We had that for our kids a couple weeks ago, and they were searching around for it. You know, they didn't just walk back inside and sit down and say, I don't want to do this. Our kids were excited about going and finding some candy and going and searching that out. And they were looking frantically all along, trying to find these things. And yet, what is this relating to? He's saying, hey, I'm searching for death as those who search for hidden treasures. I would find enjoyment in just dying right now. As much joy as those who search for treasure. Verse 22, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? See, what's going on here? See, Job has different perspectives than Satan. What happened with Satan in chapter 1 and in chapter 2? He goes up to God and he says, well, you know what? If you would stop protecting him, if you'd stop giving him all these things, and Satan would see this. Some of you pray about a hedge of protection, and Satan would say, you're protecting him with this hedge surrounding him. Why wouldn't he curse you? Why wouldn't he turn against you? And see, Job is on the other side, and he feels boxed in. He feels stuck. Instead of being protected, he feels like he's blocked in into this life that has nothing more to offer him. He is stuck and he can't go anywhere. He's getting claustrophobic. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a tunnel and all of a sudden I've lost all motion with my arms and I'm stuck, or somebody's holding me down and I can't move my arms, I tend to freak out just a little bit. Just a little bit. See, he's feeling this emotionally, mentally. He's feeling this, I would dare say, spiritually. All the way around, everything about him is closing in, and he doesn't see this as protection. He sees this as a claustrophobic issue. If only he could just die. Goes on, for my sighing cometh before I eat. See, some of us during this time of having to stay in quite a bit, our eating habits have changed, and we get pretty stoked to go to the refrigerator and enjoy that ice cream that you just bought, you know, some candy that the kids have left over from Easter, and you're sneaking those while they don't see it. Or, you know, and your son finally goes potty on the toilet, and you give him a sucker, you know, you take one at the same time. You know, there's just some enjoyment from eating. I enjoy a good pizza. I enjoy a good pie. I'm looking forward to lunch this afternoon. Supper this evening. I'm looking forward to food. Why? I'm hungry all the time. It seems like in quarantine, you are hungry more and more, right? I mean, and what do we tell our kids? We tell them, you know, use your school stomach, right? Use your school stomach. You only get to eat once during the day at school, and yet here you are going to the refrigerator constantly. What's going on here with Job? Job here in this moment is sighing because he has to eat. He's like, man, why eat? If I eat, I only prolong my life. Finishes out that verse. My roarings are poured out like the waters. You better ever been so just emotional, weary, frustrated, that you just let out a groan, you yell. Are you kidding me? Are you frustrated? This is where he's at. This is all he's got. I sigh when I eat. I roar because of the frustration and everything that's happening to me emotionally. It says, verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. What's he saying here in these last couple of verses? He's saying, my nightmares came true. I don't know about you, but these things come up. There's nightmares that I have. I imagine you've had nightmares. I've had a few that are kind of funny. Like one night I had a nightmare where I showed up to church and pastor decided to make Bobby Hollister a deacon. That was a nightmare. Okay, that was a pretty bad nightmare. And then I told him about it. And the next day he put a sign on my door and said that I needed to move out in preparation for that being Bobby Hollister's office. And I mean, come on, that's horrific nightmare, isn't it? I mean, but yet going on to a totally different. I mean, I have some other nightmares where I'm showing up after. The service has already started. Oh, wait a minute. I did that one time because I took Sunday school way too long. And here I am coming out into the lobby, and there I am. And everybody's in here. The service has already started. And pastor's wondering where I'm at, right? And so I sneak in up and around to get in. Me and Joe Leonard, we snuck in onto the stage to this side door. I mean, that was kind of a nightmare. But you know the nightmares that I really struggle with? I get over those nightmares. Nightmares that I really struggle with is losing my children and my wife. The nightmares that I struggle with, and sometimes even daymares, can you call them that? When you start thinking of what might happen, what could happen to your children, to your spouse, to yourself. As a father and as a husband, as the caretaker of my home, something happening to me to where I can't take care of my home, my family. These nightmares that come up and they can make you emotional as soon as you wake up or as you're thinking through them. They can make you super emotional. And Job's saying that all of his nightmares came true. And he couldn't even rest in between each nightmare. He couldn't even rest. It just came one after another, after another, after another. That's why he wishes that he would just die. You see, this isn't just Job that's struggled through these circumstances. I mentioned before that due to this coronavirus and everything being shut down, there was one state that they stated within these first 4 months, there's been just as much suicides this year in these first 4 months than there was in the whole year of 2019. What takes people to that spot where they think that it would just be better to take their own life? What takes teenagers to that spot when they believe that they need to overdose? I've preached at camp several times, and we get to Friday night. We'd have testimonies at the campfire. And we'd have teens come in and say, you know, I tried to kill myself this past year. Parents aren't doing so hot, trying to get divorced, or one's gone out on the other and just felt it would be better to kill myself. We had one teen that tried to kill themselves right before they came to camp. They're still recovering. Testimony after testimony, they were talking about how they just wanted to end their life. And I just felt like this burden being pressed down on me. What is going on? Why so much grief? What's taken them to this point? But you know, I liked the end of most of their testimonies. but God. But God showed me this week how my life was worth it. But God showed me that I have community. God showed me that I have friends that will stand by me to help me through this time, even when it's difficult. I love to hear the second part of those testimonies. See, when we draw a conclusion out of this, there's some implications here that we need to see as Christians. There's some implications that as we draw near, I mean, you see Job, he's gotten to the point, this is a real person with real issues, with a real trial, and a fake story here would not be helpful at all, right? Because if all we see is people going through life perfectly, then we would struggle to connect with that. Here it is. God is giving us a story of a real human being struggling with real stuff so that we can connect with him, so we could see what's going on in his raw emotion, his raw grief, so that we could turn around and at the end see our God. See, people of faith still struggle. People of faith still struggle. It happens. There's not this filtered life of everything's perfect and there's never any blemishes. I love it. You know, you walk through Instagram on your phone or on your computer. You walk through Facebook and you'll see all these teen girls and teen guys putting on all these filters on their faces to where all of a sudden their face looks totally different than what's reality. Well, I've got to cover up all the blemishes. I got to cover up the issues. Say, Pastor, isn't that what you do with your beard? Yeah, maybe that's a cover up of all the issues. At least my wife thinks so right now. See, Christians try to cover up the issues in their life to present themselves as some perfect human being, to think that this is the best life now. I hope this is not the best life now. I hope my best life is to come for all of eternity. See, people of faith still struggle. But you know, in our struggle, we reach for wishes. I wish Job reached for wishes. I wish that my birthday would have been totally blotted out. I wish that I would have died as a child. I wish that I could die right now. In fact, I'm hoping for it right now. I wish it could happen right now. He wished to control the situation. See, we do that. I wish that, that my wife would just see the things the way that I see them. I wish that my kids would finally just listen to me. I wish that they would acknowledge me. I wish that my coworkers would finally see what ability that I have, that my boss would finally understand what I can give. I wish, I've got teenagers that have told me, I wish I could just move out. I could just run away. Why? So we could control the situation, because we think that everything that we could change about our lives would make it this perfect life. All of my solutions are fixing all of my problems so that I can live this perfect life. Guess what? It's not real. I can't just rub a lamp and then God appears and says, what's your three wishes today? See, people of faith still struggle. And in our struggle, we reach for wishes. Third, our wishes can question the sovereignty of God. See, Job never cursed God. But yet when we try to change what God allows in our lives as he's moving so that we could see him better, as we try to change that because we want to bring in our own solutions, as our wishes, I just wish, guess what that does to us and our belief system? All of a sudden our mind starts changing and saying, well, God doesn't know what's best for me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me the way that his word states. It must be a lie. This must be a lie. Because all of a sudden, our wishes become the precedent. And they start to question the sovereignty of God, seeing that he does have control, seeing that he knows what's best for me, that everything works out for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. See, we stop seeing his purposes and we start seeing our wishes as top dog. See, and then other people start to see as we search for our wishes instead of God's sovereignty, other people start to see that. And they say, do they really believe in God and that he's got this under control? See, people of faith still struggle. And sometimes we start reaching for wishes. But we got to stop and just understand that God's got this. That he knows what's best for us. That we can trust in him, that he's sovereign, he's in control. That I can trust in him with all of my heart. And that's why it says in Hebrews 12, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. That's who we need to seek. Seek only a holy God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this chapter that you've presented to us. May we seek that out this evening and understand what needs to change in our own lives, understand how we work through emotions to come back to you. This is a real person with real issues, and we're real people with real issues. And God, we need to just see you. God, help the truth to set us free here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close out this service, I just encourage you to pray. Pray, take the next few minutes and pray and ask God what he desires of you. And change and perspective. Pray that you can have the right goal of looking into the author and finisher of your faith to cast away the wishes and seek him today. Just use this time to pray, and please stay connected with us over this next week. We're praying for you. Let us know how to pray for you and keep reaching out. People are watching in the midst of this trial. May we be the light that God has called us to. B. We'll talk to you later.